We're going to be coming to, going to Acts chapter 26 today, Acts chapter 26, and try to bring to you the thoughts God's laid upon our heart for the day, Acts chapter 26. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. We want to pray for your needs today that you might carry them before the Lord, and we'll do that with you. And you certainly have got needs in your life, I'm sure, and unsaved, or whether you're away from the Lord, or whether you're carrying a burden for things you're facing. We want to pray with you and for you today that God would help you in this hour. And he always will. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. So he's there. He's waiting. He wants you to come to him today. Fathers, we bow in your presence. Lord, we're so thankful to you that we can come to the throne room today, throne of grace, to Lord, to just confess our sins and our failures and our shortcomings, and Lord, ask you to help every need, bless every heart's request today, and those that, Lord, need some help today, I pray that you'd move upon their hearts, Lord, to turn their self and their thoughts and their hearts to you, and approach the throne of grace, obtaining that mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. I pray, Lord, help our nation today to turn back to you. I pray you'd speak to our leaders of our land today. Lord, they might look to you for the direction that our country needs, and Lord, for repentance and faith in Christ. I pray, Lord, you'd move in a special way and help the broadcast today. Use it for your glory. We'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 26 today. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, now thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day for thee touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Verily I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and which and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen, and of all those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Father, we ask you to bless now this reading of your word today. Help the message. Use it for your glory and for your honor. Anoint us with thy spirit. Give us wisdom as we preach today. Open hearts to receive. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use this particular passage today after the thought, and in particular on the Damascus Road experience. Paul had an experience on the Damascus Road. There's something that he was confronted with that he unexpectedly received there on the road to Damascus, and there's an experience. And of course, there's going to have to be a time in your life, and there was a time in my life when I was confronted with the Lord Jesus. I needed a Savior. I was lost without God, and He confronted me through the presence of the Holy Spirit and convinced me and convicted me of my sins, and I seen where I stood before an almighty God. Now, I want to say there's several things about this today I want to bring to your attention this morning. There's several things about this. First of all, it's a personal experience. There's got to be a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, the Bible said, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, they're permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul set forth a hand and answered for himself." There's got to be a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're alone, are ultimately responsible for our sins and for ourselves before an almighty God. And so here we find the confrontation took place. A personal confrontation took place. Now, I know there's got to be a time in our lives when the Holy Ghost of God convicts us of our sins. And I remember my own conversion when I was saved by the grace of God. I was confronted by the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God brought me immediately to the needs that was in my life. I wasn't thinking about anybody else's sin or anybody else in that night that God saved me. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God brought me under conviction and convinced me and convicted me of my sins. And I realized I alone was responsible for myself that day. And so the conviction came. It's a personal time. It's between us and God. It's between you and the Lord. There's got to be a personal confrontation between you and the God of heaven. And that's the way it is. Nobody can come unto God, come unto Jesus, except they're drawn by the Lord. There's got to be a drawing power. There's got to be a convicting power. And that's what the Lord does. And here Paul, immediately he was confronted with his own condition before God. You've got to see where you stand before God. Now, God already knows that. He's aware where you're at. That's the reason that He confronts us with the convicting power of God, and to convince us of our own condition that He already knows about that we are. Then we're convinced of it, and then we become a candidate for salvation. And so there's the personal aspect of it. It's not you didn't inherit what? You don't inherit salvation from your parents. You don't inherit salvation from your preacher. You don't inherit salvation from the church. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. You don't pay for it. But you experience it by grace through faith, and not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of words, lest any man should boast. So it's a personal thing that we have before the Lord, a personal experience. Number two, it's a life-changing experience that we have before the Lord, a life-changing experience. And now Paul was one, as Saul of Tarsus, he was convinced in his own self that he was doing what he was supposed to do and trying to please God. He was caught up in religion without a Savior. And so it's a life-changing experience. And you'll notice now here in verses 2, the Bible said that Paul said, "I think myself happy." And now Paul was experiencing something that he never experienced before in his life. He was happy about his life for the first time in his life. He was happy. "I think myself happy." And he said, "Because I shall answer for myself this day, teaching before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews." So Paul said, "I've had my life changed." Now, if you read the experience of the Apostle Paul here, you find that God changed this man. And if you study his life in the Scriptures and read about him in the Scriptures, you'll find that God changed his life. There's a life-changing experience. If your life has never been changed, if you're just like that you used to be before you joined the church, that you You're not where you ought to be with God. And the Bible said in verses 9 of chapter 26 here of the book of Acts, Paul said, I verily thought with myself. Now that's where you go wrong today, is thinking about yourself, thinking with yourself. It's not what I think today, but it's what the Lord thinks about us that we see today. But I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Paul knew about Jesus. He knew about the Son of God, but he did not know him in salvation, and that he was doing things contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's somebody, he had a life-changing experience with the Lord. And he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to strange cities. So there's Paul. That was his past life that he got changed from. And here he is standing for King Agrippa and telling him what happened to him, and he was happy for the first time in his life. And so Paul had a life-changing experience for the first time in his life. He didn't want to persecute the Christians for the first time in his life. He didn't want to say anything contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, he began to serve the living God. His life was changed. And you know what happened? The heart gets changed. It wasn't a change of mind in itself, but it was a change of his heart. And the Bible said, with a heart, a man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there was a life-changing experience that Paul had in his life, and there's a change made. Have you had your life changed by the Lord today? Are you serving God today with happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your life been changed? You had a change of attitude. You had a change of heart. You had a change of purpose. And for the first time in your life, you wanted to go to church. You wanted to pray. You wanted to serve God for the first time in your life, because that experience has got to be a life-changing thing. If you're the same thing that you used to be, you better get on the altar and get it right with God. If you live the way you used to live, there's something wrong in your life today. If you're going to the same places that you used to go, there's something wrong in your life today. God changes the heart. And my friend, listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's a life-changing experience that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so look at this, friend. And then thirdly, I want you to notice today that it deals with the past. Your life-changing experience deals with the past and all the past life that Paul had. He said in verses 4 of chapter 26, he said, my manner of life from my youth, which is at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived the Pharisee, and now stand and judge for the hope of the promise made of God. Paul had a past. It dealt with his past. Amen. And there's a life that God gives us that deals with our past. And my friend, it's over. And those things we used to do, the manner of life from my youth, and all that youth had life that he had, it wasn't right. And of course, among his own nation, they knew about this man's life. They understood who he was and what he used to be. And that there come a time, as he said there in verses 9, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. And so it deals with the past. And the past is gone. The past is forgiven. And the past is over with. And there's complete forgiveness for our past sins and for our past life. And there's a change of heart and a change of life. You need that today. If you've never been saved by the grace of God,
You're living a life of lasciviousness and sin, and you're walking among the sins of this world, and not doing things contrary to the will of God. There's got to be something dealt with in your because of your past. And now, friend, notice what Paul and what happened to him. There was a complete turnaround in this man's life. And number four, it shows a complete turnaround in this man's life. And there in verses 6 and verse 7, and now he said, all those words, and now, and the time passed, and it was in sin, and the time passed when he walked according to the course of this world, and not found the lust of the flesh, and of those things in the past. But then he said, and now, but now, the Bible said here, but now, and I mean, but now I stand and judge for the hope of God. And there's a complete turnaround in his life. And now it was different than it used to be. And now I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He accepted what God said about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepted the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepted the sin debt and that God paid for his sins on Calvary's cross. He accepted that. And now, friend, listen, there was a complete turnaround about where he used to be, because now he was serving God. Now his sins were forgiven. Now he had a hope in Christ. Now he was serving the God of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a complete turnaround in the life of this man here. And when you have experience of grace that Paul had in your life today, listen, there'll be a complete turnaround in your life also. Amen. That past life is over with. But then notice nothing else. And the fifth thing about this today, it shows a complete revelation. A complete revelation that God gave unto him. He said, whereupon as I went to Damascus under the authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining about me, and went journeyed with me, and we all fall into the earth, and I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. A complete revelation was made unto him by the God of heaven, showing him exactly what he was doing against the God of heaven, and not then changing his direction in that time. And there was a complete revelation of where he stood before God. Now, I've said this before, now I want to say it again today. Brother, listen. God already knows where you stand before him today. God already knows the condition of your heart. He already knows where you stand before him. But you've got to learn that yourself. A complete revelation was made under the Apostle Paul, of course, under Saul of Tarsus. And that God showed him exactly where he stood before him. And my friend, there's got to be a complete revelation of your sins. And all of a sudden you understand, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful person. I've got to come before the God of heaven and get forgiveness of my sins. I've got to have something that I can go to God with. I've got to have something take place in my heart and my life. I've got to have forgiveness of my sins. And the guilt pressed upon him. The guilt came upon him, and he realized where he stood before an almighty God. The guilt was there. The guilt was there. Now you say, what do you do with that guilt? God forgives. Amen. He takes the guilt away. When God forgives, he forgets. We don't forget, but God does. God forgives and God forgets about all of our sins. And he gave him a complete forgiveness. And that Paul said here in these verses, of course, and we're all fallen to the earth and heard a voice speaking unto me. There was a revelation God gave him, and God began to speak to him, and he spoke unto him. And there was a still small voice, and it tells you and lets you know when God's is coming into your heart, and let you know when you're saved, and show you where you stand before an almighty God. And the Bible said, and he came and he spoke unto him, and saying to him, and Saul, why persecutest thou me? You, Paul, you, Saul, are against me. You're against me. You see, I'd never be against God. If you haven't been saved, you are. You've got to come to the face to face with the fact that you're a sinner and you're not a child of God. And brother, you're against God. You're against His ways. You're against His will. But when the Holy Ghost shows you the need in your life and you see that you are a sinner, a complete fallen sinner, and you've got to have a Savior, and you'll never get to heaven until you see where you stand before an almighty God. You've got to have that complete revelation of God in your heart and your life to show you that you're a sinner. God's the only one that can convince us that we're sinners. We're all guilty, but we've got to be convinced of that. You've got to be convinced of that. Man don't like to admit to that he's a sinner. And the fallen nature of man will never admit to God that he's a sinner. But when the Holy Ghost comes in our heart and convicts us, and God shows us exactly where we stand before Him, that's when you do business with God. It's not just coming down the aisle and popping your chewing gum, smiling and giggling and making some kind of decision. There's got to be Holy Ghost conviction in your life. And there's got to be a complete revelation before God of your sins. And you've got to see exactly where you stand before God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty before an almighty God. We have nothing today as God's creation. Have got to have a Savior. And you got to see the need of a Savior in your life. He had a complete revelation of his own needs in his life. Now, Paul's a self-righteous man. He's just exactly like religion is today. You take the Muslim religion, how they claim and they got a God, but they've got a God that don't demand righteousness. They got a God that permits them to kill folks. They've got a God that don't have a son named Jesus. And the Jesus is one that comes and brings peace. Paul, Saul of Tarsus here in this passage, he was in the Judaism and religion. They didn't accept the Lord Jesus, and they were having folks killed, you're putting them in jail, and that's what religion does. Religion don't love sinners, amen. But Christian does love a sinner. Every time, listen, in Paul's case, of course, here there was a complete revelation in his own life of exactly where he stood before an almighty God. But it also showed him there was only one way to get to heaven, and that was by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was revealed to Saul of Tarsus as the only Savior that he could have to get him to heaven and to know the God of heaven. And God done that in his life. Only God can convince you of your sinfulness. But He can do it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This Bible holds the authority and the power and the convicting power to get you to show your need before God. And brother, when the Word of God is preached, through the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save them that believe, and the preaching of the Word of God is used by the Holy Ghost to bring to your heart, and by faith believing in Him and convicting you of your sins, and you come to Jesus and get saved only by the Holy Ghost of God. Only God can show you that need today. And Paul's Damascus Road experience was real to him because it changed his life like nothing had ever changed it before. He was raised a straitest sect of the Pharisee. They did not believe many things according to the Bible, and they did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And Paul had to come face to face with the fact that he was a sinner and he needed Jesus. And Jesus was the only way that he could get to heaven. So in Paul's case, it involved an instantaneous call. I mean, Paul was called, he was called by God, I mean, just almost immediately after he was saved by the grace of God. And he began to preach the Word of God. Now, not everybody does that. Now, to remember, it's that way. God had a special experience with Paul here, and brother, almost instantly, he was called by the Lord to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and with a changed life, and with a testimony, and with a happy life, he began to preach the Word of God because his life had been changed, and he'd been called by an almighty God. God called him. The Bible said there in those verses, in verses 16, He said, but arise and stand on thy feet, upon thy feet, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. God had a purpose in this man when he saved him. He said, for this purpose to make thee a minister and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He was called by God and he was sent by God. Now, if you called yourself, you're not going to get sent by God. But if God calls you, he'll send you. He appeared to you for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Somebody said, well, I'm going to make a minister. Well, you never make one unless God makes you one. God's got to have the call. There's got to be a call of God upon your life. Many respond earlier than others, but God has to put a call upon that life. I know we're living today when everybody's got a ministry and everybody's doing something in the name of the Lord. And everybody's got all this, and they're claiming all this stuff. There's got to be a call to preach a word of God. Got to be a call to preach the word of God. So it involves an instantaneous call, a call in his life. And so there's the fact of the call. And the Bible said, if you notice, not only that, but you know what that Damascus Road experience did also in closing the day. What did it do? I tell you what it did do. It brought about obedience to the Lord. Obedience to the Lord God of heaven. Who was he obeying to start with? He was obeying the chief priest and the Pharisees. He was doing their will. And his will got wrapped up in their will. And he thought he was doing the right thing. But I tell you what he was not doing. He was not doing the will of God. It brought about obedience to God. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He was not disobedient. It brought obedience in his life. He obeyed what God was telling him to do. And God said, I'm making you a minister. And he said, yes, Lord. I'm sending you. And he said, yes, Lord. And he sent him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He was sending him to the very people that he used to persecute. And he had to prove himself from the ministry. He proved himself. I'm just simply living the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did that call do? It brought about obedience, but it also brought about a continuance in his life. It put something in him that I tell you kept him going for the glory of God. Look at verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God. Now what did Paul say? Now look at this. I continue unto this day witnessing both as small and great, say none of the things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So what was he doing? He was simply continuing. He was still preaching the same word that God had given him when he called him. He was simply continuing. I always enjoyed the book of Daniel, where Daniel, in that chapter 1, the last part of the chapter, and Daniel continued. Even in the first year of King Cyrus. There's got to be a continuous. And brother, when God, when you experience salvation in your life, it gives you something that you'll keep going for God the rest of your life. There's enough grace to face every trial. There's enough grace to face every problem. There's enough grace to face every temptation. God will not put anything upon you more than you can bear, but to give you a deliverance and a way to go around that. God gives grace to walk with God the rest of your life. And brother, when you walk in the church 10, 20, 30 years, hey, you'll still be going for God. It brings a continuance. God says it's time, listen, to keep on going for God. The old-fashioned folks used to call it, obedience, perseverance. The perseverance of the saints of God. The grace to keep on going. Somebody said, preacher, we just don't know what happened to me, but I don't know what happened to you, but I know one thing. God knows what happened to you, and there was anything in the thing that happened to you that would cause you to stay away from God. If you stayed on your knees, if you stayed with God and stayed in church and stayed in your Bible and, brother, stayed right with God, you could still be serving God today if you'd listen to the Lord. He don't put anything on you that he would give you the grace to get over with. I could find a lot of reasons to quit in these last 50-something years of preaching. I could find a lot of reasons to quit, but I never quit. Didn't say I didn't get discouraged. And didn't say I went through some battles, but I found grace to keep on walking with God. Brother, stay with God the rest of your life. God will give you that grace. Amen? And so there's an experience of grace here. The Damascus Road experience that Paul had.